stress this enough. It's gonna get uncomfortable. It's gonna get crazy. It's gonna get weird. But you have to get used to this. We're gonna interrupt each other. You're gonna interrupt your friends. You're gonna make your friends feel weird. You're gonna make your non-friends feel weird.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now.
Good morning. It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now. Oh my goodness, it's a Monday. Hopefully you had a good weekend. You celebrate Easter. Hopefully you got to spend it with your loved ones, your friends, your family. Hopefully you had a good time. You can follow the Joe and Alex Show, Twitter and Instagram. It is really easy, at Joe and Alex Show. Kind of the same thing for our phone number, 833-JOE-ALEX. That's 833-563-2539. And pretty much everything goes back to one place, and that's joeandalexshow.com for you to check out. Coming up, we got a lot of garbage to get to. Alex will take care of that. Of course, it's a Monday music marathon, so we got lots of good music on the way for you with that. Also, Monday motivation, Joe's Need to Know News, and at 7:30, some would say the best part of a Monday is Murder Monday. We'll get to that today, so don't you go anywhere. And so much more to get to, too. Alex, good morning. How are you doing, my little Easter bunny?
I'm good. I discovered over the weekend a love for two new shows. But since I finally broke down and got the HBO app, I started watching season 3 of True Detective, which I enjoyed a lot. But then I also discovered Veep, which everyone has told me for years that I would love, and it is my new favorite show.
Who's in Veep? I've heard of it, but I don't know why I'm blanking.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Oh, okay.
That show.
She's funny.
I really am enjoying it. And,
it's so funny.
It's like The Office meets Washington, D.C. So I love it. And actually, a lot of people in The Office are in this show.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
What about you, Liv the Web Girl? How was your weekend? I see you're drinking a lot of water. I don't know if that's because you're healthy or you had a few too many mimosas.
And not really the mimosas. Just like, I feel like there just is so much food on Easter. So,
just trying to clean it out?
Yeah.
Keep it moving?
Yeah. But it was so good. I spent the weekend with my family, and my nieces and nephews are so freaking cute. It's like every single time I go visit them, they get cuter and cuter and cuter. And we did a little Easter egg hunt for them yesterday, and it was so fun. And my nephew just dominated it, like all of it. And yeah. It was a lot of fun.
Do you guys miss doing Easter egg hunts? Because that was so fun in the morning. It's like, where are they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do. Well, but now it's like fun, like hiding them and like watching like my nieces and nephew like enjoy it all. And then like talking about the Easter bunny, and they get so excited. And they're like,
the baskets
Easter bunny
are the best part.
So much candy. But I still got an Easter basket too.
That is cool.
My mom made one for my boyfriend, Joel Daddy, too.
Oh, so he's been nice. Accepted. He's been a made man. Wow, he's part of the C family.
Not yet.
Okay, well, he's trying. Pork Chop, how are you doing, man?
I am good. I spent the weekend up in Michigan with Chase's family, and it was very, very nice and relaxing. Something crazy happened while I was driving back yesterday.
Accident?
No, my dog, she's like epileptic, and sometimes she'll have a seizure like once a month. And I didn't realize, but like when the sun is going down and it's low, and there's a lot of trees, the sun goes in between
oh, yeah.
The trees,
it's like
creating
a strobe
like
light
a
effect.
Strobe effect. So she's like sitting on my lap, and then all of a sudden she just starts having a seizure while I'm driving 80 miles an hour.
Oh my God!
I know, it was crazy. I had to like pull over, but she's okay now.
Is your dog okay?
Yeah, okay. She's okay now.
Now listen, I know it sounds terrible, but I will never watch your dog knowing that because I would not know what to do, and I'd freak out like, poor chap, your dog's dying.
You just talk to her very calm, and luckily it was actually a quick one.
Yeah.
She's had some bad
That's
ones.
That's scary.
Yeah, but Jeez. It is pretty scary.
That is insane. Well, I'm glad it's okay. Mm-hmm. My Easter is so freaking crazy. I don't even know what we're going to talk about, but here's what happened. An amazing weekend. My brother came down from Michigan to visit. Kind of funny. You went to Michigan for the holiday. My family came to see me. So I saw my brother and my sister-in-law, had an amazing time. It was I can't tell you, like my brother and I didn't have a good relationship growing up, and our family's all kinds of screwy. I've talked about that, but we didn't even do that much, but this is a quality time we spent for 48 hours. I could cry. I'm so happy. I just feel like revived right now. Yeah, I feel so good right now. So that was awesome. Not awesome, locking my Jeep keys in my Jeep.
Oh no!
So I got to figure out how to get those out because I had to take my other car to work today, which sounds really rich because I am. No,
you're gonna have to call AAA.
I'm not calling AAA. The dealership's gonna give me an extra key or something.
Is that why
I'm too cheap to have another key?
You texted me like, drive me to work.
Oh, I said, hey, could you give me a ride? I mean, I can Uber if I need to, but I was like, wait a minute, he's right on the way. Yeah. That happened. I get a call from my mom, and I can never tell my mom, so dramatic. My grandma got rushed to the hospital yesterday.
Oh, so
she just got dizzy, had a hard time breathing. Her eyes rolled back in her head, and like they had to rush her in an ambulance there. So I guess, I don't know. My grandma, everybody has just got bad health in my family, but I don't know. My mom is so vague on things. I'm hoping everything's gonna be okay. As of now, she's stable, but it's something with my grandma's heart. So it's like, Lord,
should you go visit?
I don't know. I asked my mom those questions, and I want honest answers, and I don't get them. They lie to me all the time.
Well, why don't
house.
You just call the hospital directly and ask to talk to the nurse in charge of her or whatever, and ask her?
I think it's HIPAA. I don't know if they can do that kind of stuff.
I don't think they can tell him unless like he's like the emergency contact or something.
Okay.
Which I'm not. So yeah, hopefully she'll be all good. But it's just like, what a crazy weekend. Everything just circling around. That being said, hey, I'm here. We're good, and I'm glad everybody else is here too. Yeah, Alex, I know you're working hard all this morning on the garbage. Can you give me a little tasty taste of what's coming up in it?
Kanye West's strange Coachella church service, more clues from Taylor Swift, and is this iconic TV actress collaborating with Cardi B on something?
Oh, I love trash. It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now.
Who cares about this garbage?
Kanye West brought his Sunday church services to Coachella yesterday at 9 in the morning. The service was live streamed, but there were some things that you couldn't see, like people waiting hours in line for expensive merch. The Kardashians were all there, and fans were smoking weed during the service.
Praise Jesus.
Doors were set to open at 6 a.m., but actually opened closer to 7. Hundreds of people were waiting, and staff told them not to run. Attendees stampeded the lines in a giant sprint, and they also waited for hours to buy $50 socks and $225 sweatshirts. The merch tent was called Church Clothes. You could also get a $165 long sleeve t-shirt and a $70 short sleeve t-shirt that said Holy Spirit or Trust God on them. Some people stocked up and planned on reselling them online for more money. The Kardashian Jenner clan wore all white for Kanye's church service after celebrating Easter with baskets at their houses. Some fans complained that the service wasn't churchy and wondered why they paid $500 for church. One girl did say it was the best church she's been to, and another attendee said, I haven't been to church in years. This is the new wave. The service was star-studded as Justin and Hailey Bieber, Lil Pump, Willow and Jaden Smith, 2 Chainz, Tame Impala, Danny Glover, Kid Cudi, Jared Carmichael, Jermaine Dupri, and a bunch of others, plus all the Kardashians were in attendance. Taylor Swift's infamous countdown has given us another cryptic message, this time with chickens. Since the first post on April 12th, she's posted visual clues every single day on social media with the caption 426 and pictures of a close-up of a heart-shaped brooch, or there's one that had a pair of hands that had sparkly rings and pastel nail polish. She's also posted a photo of gold-framed chickens wearing sunglasses as of yesterday. So some are now speculating that her new single could be a Dixie Chicks collaboration.
Oh, that'd be kind of cool. Or she's got a sponsorship from McDonald's.
Ooh, yeah. If there's some chicken nuggets involved, I am going to just know even more
when
that Taylor and I are really soulmates.
Chicken nugget princess and you.
Fran Drescher says the Nanny reboot featuring Cardi B is not happening. But there is another Nanny project in the works. Drescher wanted to get the rapper to play the role in a reboot that would cast Drescher as her mother, but the actress said that idea is not going to go forward anymore. Instead, she's collaborating with the people of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, if you've ever seen that show, on something that she says she thinks the Nanny fans are going to be very excited about.
Oh, man, I was really hoping. Oh, go clean your room.
That would have been epic. And Lori Loughlin and her husband, Massimo, have been constantly arguing after they were both arrested in the college admission scandal. Sources say the Full House actress is arguing with him because she's beginning to grasp that they are in very serious jeopardy. The couple allegedly paid $500,000 for people to take the admissions tests on behalf of their daughters, and she also claimed that her daughters were both going to be in the rowing crew to get them into USC. They were not in the rowing crew. Coming up in less than an hour, the celebrity breakup that shook the world over the weekend.
For more garbage, go to joeandalexshow.com.
If you're feeling good, say yeah!
Yeah!
All right.
Monday motivation, trying to make your day just a little bit better. I mean, come on, so much crap's going on. Let's get to the good stuff. Let me kick it off right here. 37-year-old Walter Gordy in Texas. Well, he was diagnosed with lymphoma about 5 years ago, and the good thing is he beat it. He is now cancer-free. Then after his diagnosis, he wanted to see if maybe he's predisposed to any other illnesses or sicknesses, you know, kind of maybe try to get ahead of them in front of them. Well, he took an DNA test through 23andMe, one of the multiple things you can do to kind of check out your history, and didn't get any information about that, but this is kind of a cool twist. Meanwhile, a good friend of his named Mark also signed up for 23andMe, and after being friends for 12 years, they found out they're related.
No way.
Whoa. Yep. Yeah way. They actually were both raised by single moms who had artificial insemination. It turns out they chose the same donor. So Mark and Walter have the same dad. So they're like half brothers.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
Yeah. Now Walter, the guy that's cancer-free, recently got a call and thought Mark was inviting him to a party or maybe something like that to hang out. But he was really calling him to tell him, hey man, we're half brothers, which is a pretty big deal because neither one of them had siblings. It turns out their moms know each other too. And they, I guess they've been singing in the same church for over a decade, but neither one of them knew that, hey, you use this guy and I use this guy. So it's kind of cool.
I love it.
Cancer-free and finds out you're not alone. You got a half-brother. That's my little Monday motivation. What do you got, Alex?
A 5-year-old boy from Michigan called 911 because he was craving food from McDonald's. This boy's grandma was sleeping, so I guess, you know, there was no one really awake seeing what he was up to. And he called 911 and asked the dispatcher if someone from the police office could bring him food from McDonald's. And the dispatcher called a police officer who was in the area to kind of go and check on him. And before getting to his house, the police officer stopped at a McDonald's, and he really did pick him up some food. So he got what he asked for. The boy's grandma said he was using an old phone, which he didn't realize could still be used to call 911. I guess it was he must have found like an old cell phone or something like that.
Yeah, he hooked it up to Wi-Fi, which it blows my mind these little kids can do it.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm sure the police officer was nice, brought him the food, and still told him, like, 911 is for emergencies. Wanting McDonald's is not an emergency.
Well, some would argue it is, but, I mean, to each their own. Live the web, girl. What do you got?
This cop in Illinois pulled over this guy because he had expired license plates, and he was, like, kind of like a younger guy.
Sounds like your kind of guy.
And he was heading to a job interview, and the cop didn't want him to like be late and still wanted to get him there. So the cop drove him himself to the job interview and didn't give him a ticket or anything like that.
That's awesome.
So I
love that.
Was like really sweet. And he ended up getting the job.
Oh, he got the job?
Yes.
That's a double good news story.
No kidding. That stuff never happens. I love that. All right. Thank you, Alex and Liv. That's your Monday motivation here on the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now. Sad news. Several Americans are among at least 290 people killed and 450 injured in simultaneous terror attacks that happened at hotels and churches in Sri Lanka on Easter Sunday. At least 6 explosions hit hotels and churches as worshipers gathered for Easter services. Really not much more to say about that except for just sad, and it's hard to make sense of things like that because there's no real explaining that. But
yeah.
And then another thing, maybe there'll be some good news coming out of this. This is some sad news. It's Indianapolis, an Indiana base, but it's kind of been over the country too talking about this. And that is the investigation into the 27 murders of Liberty German and Abigail Williams.
The 2017 murders.
What did I say?
27.
Oh, well, yeah. You know what I meant, right? Sorry, yeah. The coffee hasn't hit yet.
It was all over Dr. Phil and everything. Everyone knows about this case.
2017 is the year. It's moving in a new direction, according to the ISP. Indiana State Police Superintendent Doug Carter will hold a brief briefing on Monday today at noon in Delphi. According to a statement from the agency, to share information with the media and public about the new direction of the homicide investigation, Libby and Abby were reported missing on February 13th, 2017, after going on a hike near the Monon High Bridge in Delphi. Their bodies were found the next day, and there have been no arrests in the murders. 2 years later, this past February, investigators said thousands of tips about the murders have been received. The case, they said, though, has grown cold. There's a $240,000 reward for information leading to an arrest. So I'm going to be interested to see what they have, if anything. I hope there's something.
There's so hard things.
You have these cold cases.
My predictions are it's going to be one of two things. One, they're going to say that the suspect, the sketch, all that they had, they're now moving in a new direction. They don't think it's that whoever that person was at all. So they're saying it's good news, like, okay, we're moving forward with the case in a new direction. Or two, I think they're going to release more audio than what they had previously. Because
why would they not release it all?
because sometimes you don't release all the information that you have in a homicide case whenever you want to keep some things close to the case, so that if somebody does come forward and say it was me or I know who did it, you can like judge and see based on the evidence that's been kept behind. Like, are they just saying it because they've heard about it in the news?
But who's going to come forward and say it, though? I get you, but it's just like, man, like, I can't imagine those families 2-3 years now with their daughters, you know, being dead. It's like, let's find this person or persons that did this.
Isn't it also true that sometimes they'll keep, like, evidence because they don't want to leak too much? Because if the killer is still around town, they, like, don't want the killer to like escape or like leave if like they realize that like they're on to him.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, possibly that. But I would say it's more of, you know, if somebody says, I know who it is, I think it's this guy, they can judge based on the interview that they have with them. Is this really him based on they know secret information that that person may not know they know?
Well, we'll give you updates as we get them. It's coming out today around 12, 11 Central. There's an email going viral right now that was posted. It was in a Facebook wedding group last week. It's from a woman who's a bride and reluctantly saying the bride reluctantly invited her to a Vegas bachelorette party, and the woman promptly emailed her a list of rules. Okay, I'm out. You're not giving me rules. I guess there's 18 or 20 people that are going. Here's some of them. One, no hard liquor. I don't want to be tempted by these foul drinking drinks. Please stick to light beers and red wines. Okay, no thank you. What else does she have? Oh, wait. No drugs, including people with Adderall prescriptions. Liv, you're out. You're not going. Sorry, kicking her out.
Unfortunately, I don't have a prescription.
Oh, you just have a supplier? Okay. As well as we will not be studying. There's no need for Adderall. What a party pooper.
Wow.
No hooking up, no sex, she says. As none of us have committed ourselves to husbands yet, there's no need to have premarital sex. Alex, are you making these rules?
What's going on here?
I don't know. Please don't invite random men back to the suite. I don't want to be robbed. I could get that.
Why is this girl even going to Vegas?
Yeah, like of all things, like that's not the place you want to be at. They want $50 for each of them for groceries. That makes sense. Hey, if you're all going to chip in, help out with the food. So.
Ooh, who goes to Vegas and eats inside?
No.
You go out.
No. When you ever go on a vacation, everybody like chips in for food.
Yeah, when you go to like freaking Daytona Beach, not Vegas.
Yeah, but you need some food.
You need
in the
Alex.
Hotel.
You need some snacks.
When you come back from the bars, 50
a person.
Late at night,
yeah, it's expensive.
Drunk, or if you're coming back from the pool party during the day and you're drunk and you need to nap.
Think
and
of how
shower.
Much food that is.
We need
though.
To hang out with Liv. It's not that much. It's for 18 people. $500 is not that much total.
That's probably alcohol included. Well, no, probably not to this girl. This is probably a girl.
Yeah, no alcohol at all. Come on, Liv. Do you not follow the rules here? You're not invited now. 17 people. And finally, she scheduled a church trip for the Sunday morning there in Vegas. Quote, I think it'll be a nice way to cleanse us from all of our sins from that week. I agree.
This has to be a joke.
Probably half the things I read anymore, I wonder if they're fake or real. I think they're all made up.
This girl, like, wasn't initially invited on this trip. And she, like, threw a temper tantrum and, like, begged to be invited to, like, finally get invited.
Bet she's regretting that.
And then she puts this list out there. Like, you weren't even invited in the first place. No one even wanted you to be there. And, like, clearly you're showing yourself why.
Yeah.
You guys no longer have to do things for the gram. There's a company that will do it for you. 1 out of 7 people have admitted that they've lied about a vacation to impress people, and a lot of that lying happens on social media. Now they have a website that I guess can help you try to like live that lie that you've been telling everyone. It's called fakeavacation.com.
Oh my gosh.
And for just $20 and up, they'll edit a picture of you into vacation spots, including Hawaii, Disneyland, and the Grand Canyon, or pretty much anywhere else that you'd want to go. The website, like examples, they look okay. It's kind of like put your photo here, but I don't know, is that really that big of a deal? Because I know everybody wants to get those great photos on vacation, but would you do that? Would you pay $20, $40, $100 to have it faked?
I can't afford a vacation, so like I can't afford extra money to just spend on this.
I feel like with my life, it would be too obvious if I fake. Like, too many people would know that I didn't really go anywhere.
How
I think
they
this
know?
Would only work if you are somebody that doesn't have a lot of followers. Because then nobody's, like, really, like, paying attention to you and, like, going to notice if you did or didn't really go.
See, I feel like it would work with, like, a lot of people who have a lot of followers. But, like, a lot of their followers aren't, like, their close friends.
Yeah.
How do they know?
That's true.
My friend must use this because she goes on, like, an extravagant trip, like, every 3 weeks.
Jeez.
Like, she goes to Cabo,
I don't know if people
Vegas,
afford it.
New York City, Florida, like, I mean, California.
She's got a sugar daddy.
Yeah,
dude, she might. I don't know how she affords all this.
Hey, yeah, man, Jewel Daddy better step it up or he could be replaced. Starting out there. And let's wrap up this morning with some sports. The Boston Celtics beat the Pacers 110-106 to sweep the Pacers in advance in the NBA playoffs. That was just so hard to watch.
Sad.
This weekend. Another thing, hard game to watch, but at least they pulled through. The Rockets got an ugly W on Saturday. What was it? Was it 0-15? For Harden off the floor, like,
I
starting
think
out.
So.
0-15. You don't hit 15 shots in a row. I think
him.
I have a better record than that.
Talk about a bad game.
But they won. They're up 3-0, and they could sweep the Jazz tonight in Utah. And this is really cool. Congratulations to Houston Astros' Josh Reddick and his wife on twin boys. They put a big announcement up inside of the stadium on the screen, but they also had a video on their Instagram where they did that, where they throw like the little ball and they hit it with the bat. And they both had some good connections here. Lefty and righty, they both knocked the crap out of the ball, and two boys coming their way. So that's going to be awesome. Little kiddos on the way. That's Joe's Need to Know News here on the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now. Good morning. Good morning. It's the Joe and Alex Show. How are you? Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. It is Joe and Alex Show. The number to call in, 833-563-2539. Murder Monday, coming out about 28 minutes. So keep your little booty in place. Don't you go nowhere. Now, I've always dreamed of winning the lottery, and I hate it when it happens to people. It's like, wait, really? They need to win it? But I think it's cool for this story. And I want to know at 833-JOE-ALEX, you win the lottery today, like let's say like $5 million, what are you going to do? Because this guy in Tennessee is goals for sure. A Tennessee man named Timothy Sarrett won $2 million playing a Mega Millionaire Jumbo Bucks scratch-off last week. And he took home $1.3 million after taxes. He says, it's still crazy, man. Well, I mean, I never owned a house, so now that's the first thing I'm going to get. He said he's also going to pay off his mom's house and take his kids to Disney World because that would just freak them the plum out. Now, his official purchase actually was a 1987 truck. He'd also like to fly to L.A. to see the Dodgers play. He said, that's my favorite baseball team. But my favorite part is this audio from... This is me from the news report.
I might have a lot of money, but I'm still a redneck. You know, I've always been a redneck. That ain't never going to change.
That sounds great. Like it's Jeff Foxworthy winning the lottery. So, you know what? Today's our day, and we win the lottery, Alex. What is the Chicken Nugget Princess buying? You only got like $2 to $5 million, so you're not super rich, but what are you going to be doing?
Paying off my car.
Okay.
Definitely getting rid of my apartment, buying a house.
Ooh.
And I'm going to get a new car.
You would buy a house?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you buy a house?
You can own it. You pay for it in cash, and then you never have a mortgage. And then if you do ever want to sell it, you can make so much money.
I'd be like, I quit. What about you, Live the Web Girl? You wake up, and you're like, oh, I'm rich.
The first couple things I would buy. I would buy a Louis Vuitton.
Oh my God, really?
Yes.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yes.
Alex is gonna live in her house. Liv will live in her Louis Vuitton purse.
That's right.
Well, I don't think I would buy a house. Maybe I would buy a house.
You wouldn't.
No, I know, I probably wouldn't. I'd probably get like a new apartment. But
you'd get
renting.
Like a penthouse apartment. You get a really nice fancy
one. I would get
one.
A nice fancy apartment, but maybe I would buy. Like, you know how,
a
like,
condo.
You can buy, like, I buy a nice, swanky condo downtown.
Like, if you got the money, you want to own it. Otherwise, you're just paying somebody else
to
lose it.
Yeah, I know. I realize that that's stupid. So, yeah, maybe I would buy, like, a swanky condo.
Okay.
Because I don't want the whole responsibility of a whole house.
Pork chop. What would you be doing, man? You end up hitting the lotto today. What would you do with, like, $2 to $5 million? A couple of purchases that you would make.
Well, I think I need a new car. We could all agree on that.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, we recommend that. Or a used car. Newer-ish.
Yes, and then I would probably pay my electric bill because I think I've got a shut-off date here in like 8 days.
Oh, you don't need electricity. You can survive without that.
Yeah,
you think?
Candles.
Yeah, okay. No, honestly, people back in the day, Game of Thrones, they didn't have electricity. They're fine.
We can get you a lantern.
Yeah. Oh.
Guys, I'm coming through in the darkness.
Joe, why are you poo-pooing on my ideas?
Well, I'm saying don't worry about you actually having to pay your electricity bill. You can pay your bill if you want. I'd be more worried about my water bill. Like,
electricity.
Exactly.
Yeah, who needs it?
You could charge your phone here. You know, watch it. You know, watch shows
on
your
phone.
Thomas
Edison was a big Dumbo anyways.
Yeah, what did he know? God, what a loser he was.
Yeah, you know what? It wasn't even him. It was Ben Franklin that invented electricity, right?
Yeah, that's...
Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now.
Hello, it is the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now. Happy Monday. Thank you so much for making us a part of your day. Am I wrong for this? Like, did I mess up? I mean, if everybody thinks I did, maybe I'll admit I'm wrong. But I was really ticked off. I had to chill out on this Friday. I was just trying to be a good employee and be a team member. We were shooting our TV show for Comcast, the Joe and Alex Show. We get to be on there every Thursday night at 10, 9 Central on Channel 81. And then this email came down. Our big boss, I'll say his name for the story. His name is Dion. And he's like, hey, we're going to have a staff meeting, an all staff meeting, so all the stations. Let's try some new food ideas. I'm like, okay, cool. So we were taping, Alex, and I think you always delegate because you're lazy. You're like, Liv, put chicken nuggets. So I think you did that. And then Pork Chop's like, oh man, I could go for some chili dogs. And that's what I said too. So we're replying things, and I guess we are in such a bad service area in our TV studio that we couldn't see anything. And I guess somewhere in the email, it said just to send the ideas to Dion and Beth. It didn't say not to reply all, but it just said to send them to them. It didn't say only. Well, then one person, one of our employee says, reply alls are so fun, smiley face. Obviously
very
sarcastic.
Passive aggressive.
It's like, okay, calm down, who pooped in your Wheaties. And then another person replied, and this is the same person we talked about in the air before too, that I don't understand. Like, I get if you don't like swearing. I swear, not all the time, not as much as Liv, but I have a potty mouth. But we were in a presentation one time, and I was really passionate, so I was swearing. Because when I'm passionate, I swear occasionally. And this person's really, like, dresses to the nines, always, like, just really respectable, you know, really church-going person. And they acted like I was, I don't know what else I could have been saying worse than a few swear words, but they just discussed. Like, not everybody has to swear. And just like, I was like, he's like, I'm not kidding. I'm like, whoa.
And so what'd they say about the us replying all to the food email?
Well, then they reply after the person said, reply alls are so fun. They go, especially when Dion, who's our boss, has this line in the email. So then they copied and pasted and then highlighted it in yellow because it was not in the original email.
Dang, wait, they copied and pasted it and highlighted it?
They highlighted it. It was not highlighted in the original email. It said, please send Beth or me any food ideas that are different than pizza on our normal lunches. That was the original idea we got excited about. This is what really got me pissed.
Wait, what happened after this?
The next level of just like get over yourself kind of things. Because I'm the biggest person. I hate reply all emails. But I was like, oh my God, everybody else is replying. There must be something like that we're supposed to. That's why I did it. Usually I'm always like, I'll tell somebody in person, congratulations on a job promotion. I don't have to do it with 50 other people. This person used these three hashtags and it made me want to punch a wall. Hashtag read lately.
Ooh.
Hashtag read the whole thing.
Ooh.
Hashtag readers are leaders. Let me tell you something, coworker. We know a thing or two about reading. We don't do it well, but we read to kids every damn week. That's right, the Joe and Alex Show Book Buddies. We're in the schools. We like the kids. I don't know. It's just like, I'm the biggest butthead about it, Alex. Like, I always say, like, oh, God, don't reply all.
I never reply all.
I don't either, but one time over food, I do.
Yes, I did too, because I thought it's Friday. Everyone's in a good mood. Like, it's just a fun thing. Like, what do we want to have for lunch as a staff?
Right.
And I thought we were trying to just be fun.
That's what I thought it was, too.
I was very, like, okay.
Oh, not our one employee. That we ruined it. That was not cool, replying all to a food email.
I just thought the passive aggressiveness was a little unnecessary. Necessary there.
What I'm confused about is how come they haven't sent that out when it's like a chain of like 100 congratulations,
because
man.
It was us. Because it was us that
like,
did it.
It was
yeah,
so...
we do one thing. They do not like us.
I never reply all, like ever, 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 not even to say congratulations to people, because I just figure that maybe people don't even know that I exist or
you
who
don't
I am.
Really. They're like, yeah. Like, where's Liv the Web Boy? It's like, it's girl.
Yeah,
Liv,
half
girl.
The office calls me Liz. So I just don't do it. But for this, I was like, oh, heck yeah. I'll throw one in there. So I threw in like a super fake request for like a super...
Oh, Liv put down like a request for a 5-star restaurant.
Yeah.
It was like, obviously a joke.
Filet mignon, some lobster, you know, people are in good moods. This is like a fun topic.
Pork Chop's like, you know, I really could go for the 4 for 4 from Wendy's. I think we could all enjoy a nugget or a burger. I get it, and reply alls are annoying, and I'll still go with that. But it's just, people like that really get me upset. It's like, dude, like, you're here's my thing. You could just simply reply, hey, please don't reply all. That'd be cool, and he could even say the part. But when you go to the next level and include hashtags, it's like, dude, get over yourself. We're doing a million things. I assume you are, too. You don't got to be a turd. Yeah. Like, I hate when you make people feel less than. I hate that.
Hashtags are, like, petty.
It's really going to be awkward when we have to have this.
Hashtag, oh, no, we just lost an endorsement. Okay. Alex, what's coming up in the garbage?
Coming up next, this celebrity breakup that shook the world over the weekend.
That's it? Well, I need more.
I thought the song
Give
was
me more.
Starting.
I don't hear a song, do you?
Dini Amendola exposed the IG famous Olivia Culpo.
But wait, is there more?
And this singer is done sharing pics of her kids.
Okay, cool.
Oh, I love trash.
It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now.
Who cares about this garbage?
Adele has split from her husband, Simon Konecki. Adele's publicist said Adele and her partner have separated. They are committed to raising their son together lovingly. As always, they ask for privacy. There will be no further comment. So they were married in 2016 after 5 years of dating. They've got one six-year-old son named Angelo. The gossip is Adele caught him making runs to the local rub and tug. And allegedly, Adele is already trying to get back on the dating scene, and she wants her friends to help her find a match. And supposedly, Adele wants to meet an American man. So that is
Hello,
some
Adele.
Juicy scoop.
Can I introduce myself? Joe Pesci here. How are you? Hello.
This is my favorite story of the weekend. After reports of her getting cozy with producer Zedd, NFL star Dani Amendola slammed his ex Olivia Culpo on social media. Amendola posted a lengthy, not safe for work rant about her and their relationship on Instagram, and then he deleted it. Here's some of what he said. He said, I believe there should be a boundary between private life and social media. Olivia believes in fishbowl lifestyle. This fundamental difference was huge in our relationship. Olivia chooses and wants to be noticed on the internet and in Hollywood to make money, whereas the cost of fame in this world doesn't appeal to me. I play ball for one reason, and that's respect. Olivia and I had some amazing times together. Just like any other loving relationship, we fought. A lot of the time, it was my fault because, let's be honest, I can be an idiot. But, yup, she's effed up, too. And if you cross me, I'm a hard blanker to deal with. And the sex was effing crazy, too. She gets so mad at me for not posting her on social media, but I think this blank is sometimes fake, sometimes toxic, but sometimes beautiful. Not sure what's in the future, but the only thing I care about is her happiness. And if that's dancing with scrawny little blanks, then so be it. I'm happy, too. With that said, Liv, my beautiful ex-girlfriend. And he had posted, like, a video of her making pancakes. So hours later, Dani Amendola set the record straight by saying, what I meant to say yesterday was that the media and general public have no idea what goes on behind closed doors. And he also said, like, whoever thought that the scrawny little blanker comment was about Zedd, who Olivia has been seen with recently, is wrong. I have no problems with anybody. It was obvious he was lying. But it was so juicy because Olivia Culpo is one of the most Instagram famous, like, models. She was also, what, Miss America or some crap like that. She's some beauty pageant girl. Yeah. But her life, and she did Nick Jonas. Everything about her life is so curated and so perfect. She doesn't let anyone see anything real about her. And so for this to happen, it was like, oh my gosh. And also Dani Amendola, what he's saying is right. He never posts on social media, like, anything juicy like that.
This sounds like you.
So, yeah.
Like, never. Well, no, I'm not posting that up there.
It was fantastic.
I honestly loved every moment of this.
Yeah, this is a big, big thing. In an interview that's going to air today, Pink is going to be on the Ellen Show today, and she talks about how she's not going to post any more pictures of her kids.
Two-year-olds don't like to wear wet swim diapers, and apparently at some point he took it off, and I don't think like that. Like, we live on a farm. My kids are naked. It's what happens. I'm naked sometimes. People went as far as saying someone should call child services because he didn't have a diaper on, and how dare I? And just, like, some of the nastiest things. And I cried so hard after that because I like to share my family. It's my proudest moment in my whole life. I'm prouder of my kids than anything I've ever done. And I won't share them anymore. I won't do it. I'm not posting pictures of them anymore.
And Backstreet Boys' Nick Carter reached out on social media to NSYNC to see if they can collaborate on a tour together.
They are trying so hard to go on tour.
Yeah, they are. Nick shared a Rolling Stone article on why NSYNC should tour without member Justin Timberlake, along with the big question. And Nick Carter said, the world of pop needs this to happen. I'd go and watch them. Hell, maybe one day we could even do an NSYNC Backstreet tour or NSYNC Backstreet song together. He said, hashtag NSYNC, hashtag bring them back, hashtag our boys, hashtag 90s music, hashtag NSYNC Backstreet Boys.
Hashtag I need to pay my mortgage.
He said, so he said all that, and then NSYNC did not reply yet, except Joey Fatone did, and he said that they've got other collabs they have to finish before they can think of other things.
So he's being let down easy by Joey Fatone.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's rough out there, man.
It ain't easy.
Coming up in less than an hour, this pop star surprised the crowd at Coachella last night and teased a new album.
For more garbage, go to JoeAndAlexShow.com.
All right, check it out. Murder Monday, coming to you right in your ear holes in about two songs. Do not go anywhere. We're the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now.
Murder Monday starts right now and is brought to you by CAMS Roofing and Remodeling. Lower your heating bills with a professional insulation installation by CAMS Roofing and Remodeling. Visit CAMSRoofing.com to schedule your free estimate.
Police searched Gacy's home and found the decomposed remains of three bodies in a dirt crawl space under the house.
Tomorrow marks 30 years since Johnny Gosch disappeared on his paper route.
I just killed my mom and my sister.
The city is preoccupied with the killer who in one note signed himself the Son of Sam.
The East Area Rapist, just when you thought the story couldn't get any worse.
Wrists and ankles chained, gagged, probably blindfolded.
We have an individual who apparently has the uncontrollable desire to kill.
It's Murder Monday on the Joe and Alex Show. Listener discretion is advised.
The reason we do Murder Monday is to bring attention to Crime Stoppers. They let you anonymously give tips on any unsolved crime that might be in your area. Call them. 1-800-222-TIPS. That's 1-800-222-TIPS. Alex, what are you covering today for Murder Monday?
The barbecue killer. Nathaniel Barjona is born as David Paul Brown in the city of Worcester, Massachusetts in 1957. At the age of six, he starts picking at his scabs until his skin festers and then sucks the blood from the wound.
Guilty.
Right off the bat, you know, this guy.
Homie, don't play.
This guy is not normal. 6 years old, right?
Well, you don't pick your own scabs?
I don't. Well, picking, yes. Sucking the blood out, no.
You ever see what they taste like?
So his mom is called multiple times from his school, and they're telling her, they're like, okay, your son here, Nathaniel, he's got a weird little habit.
Hey, Pete, the picker over here needs to stop it.
They're like, it's upsetting both the children and the teachers. So there's some warning signs. 1 year later, in late July, Nathaniel invites a five-year-old neighbor girl to his basement. He tells her he has a Ouija board that can predict the future. When she follows him down, he tries to strangle her until her screams actually alert Nathaniel's mother, and she runs down and rescues her. But Nathaniel gets off with little to no punishment. At 13, he lures another six-year-old boy from the neighborhood to a hill outside and tells him that he wants to go sledding with him. Once they get to the secluded hill, Nathaniel ends up sexually assaulting him. During his senior year of high school, Nathaniel starts impersonating a police officer for the first time and abducts an eight-year-old named Richard O'Connor while he's on his way to school. He sexually assaults and strangles him inside his car, and a neighbor actually sees the abduction and assault from a window and calls the police. So officers rush to the scene. They rescue Richard O'Connor as he's unconscious and almost dead. Nathaniel is arrested and sentenced to probation. And just a few days before his graduation and the conclusion of his probation, Nathaniel just drives off to Hartford, Connecticut and impersonates a police officer again. This time, he abducts a nine-year-old girl and sexually assaults her in his car and then throws her out when she starts, like, freaking out. She starts, like, vomiting and stuff. A witness sees him toss the girl, she gets the license plates from his car, and Nathaniel is arrested again. But somehow the report on this arrest never gets back to his probation officer, and so he's just released from probation in May of 1976 with a letter thanking him for his cooperation.
Thank you for being so good. You've been really a good boy.
Yeah.
It's crazy how much technology changes, because that would never happen now.
Well, we hope not.
Less likely, but back then it's like,
Just the lack of communication is very unsettling here between the different police officers. Or offices.
Mm-hmm.
So the next year, Nathaniel impersonates this time an FBI agent and abducts two boys coming out of a movie theater. He drives them to a secluded area and handcuffs them. Nathaniel, who weighs 375 pounds, leaves one of the boys in the car's trunk while he takes the other away and tries to strangle and suffocate him with his weight until he thinks he's killed him. But this is genius. The boy pretends to be dead and even is able to keep faking it when Nathaniel starts blowing cigarette ashes on his face. When Nathaniel leaves, the boy runs away and reports him to the police. Nathaniel is arrested again, and the boy that was in the trunk is rescued. This time, Nathaniel is convicted of attempted murder and sentenced to between 18 and 22 years in prison. But he is transferred to a state hospital where he tells psychiatrists repeatedly about having sexual fantasies involving murder, torture, dissection, and cannibalism. This is where he changes his legal name to the present one, Nathaniel Bar-Jonah. I told you he had a different name when he was born. And he starts saying that he wants to honor his Jewish heritage and that he wants to know what it's like being discriminated as a Jew, which is why he chose the name Nathaniel Bar-Jonah. I'm not sure. I don't know a lot of Jewish people, but I mean, I guess like Jonah must be a last name that's popular among Jewish communities or something.
I just thought maybe he changed it because he didn't like, you hear people changing religions because of food in prison. You know what I mean? Like, oh, this isn't, like, for example, this is and kosher, I want something else. Like maybe they'd get a better type of food.
Right.
That would be me. I'm like, you know, I identify as this because they got the good meal today.
So that's what he says. He wants to change his name for that reason. He is released from the hospital in July of 1991. A month later, he sees a 7-year-old boy sitting outside a car outside a post office in Oxford, Massachusetts. Nathaniel gets in the vehicle and just sits on top of the boy, smothering him, but then runs away when he notices that people are watching. Nathaniel's description from one of the witnesses is recognized by one of the police officers who had arrested him 15 years before, and he's arrested again. Nathaniel claims that he entered the car to get out of the rain and that he was going to wait for the driver to get back, and then he was going to ask him to take him home. He said he didn't see the boy sitting in there and that him sitting on him was a complete accident.
You know what? Why is everybody looking at me right now, too? Because I remember being the fat guy, like, in school, not killing people or doing anything, but they're like, oh, Joe, don't sit up. What are you going to do, sit on me?
Well, later he admits...
When you sit on somebody.
Later he does admit that his intent was to kill the little boy, so he is given 2 years of probation under the condition that he moves with his mom to Great Falls, Montana, and that he never returned to Massachusetts ever again. Well, in Great Falls, Montana, Nathaniel starts collecting toys and memorabilia, mostly Star Wars related, and organizes yard sales that draw massive crowds of children.
Oh my gosh.
In December of 1993, he gets accused of molesting an 8-year-old boy who he was babysitting, and then that case eventually gets dropped. So it's like every single time something happens, he gets out of it.
How is that possible? These aren't accidental, like, no, dude, you were clearly trying to kill somebody or hurt somebody or assault somebody.
Well, here's the thing. On February 6th, 1996, 10-year-old Zachary Ramsey leaves his apartment at around 7:34 in the morning to go to school, taking his usual school route through an alleyway. Zach is wearing a blue denim jacket with green sleeves, a blue football jersey with his last name on the back in gold letters, stonewashed jeans, and black high-top sneakers. A family of three who lives in an apartment in the alleyway see Zach there that morning and also see an off-white 4-door car nearly run him over. Another witness sees Zach standing in the alleyway and that he appeared to be waiting for someone. Another witness who lived near the end of the alleyway sees Zach distressed with an obese adult man following him a few feet behind. Someone else says that they saw a large man wearing a navy blue police-like jacket. And somewhere in the alley, Zach Ramsey just disappears and has never been seen or heard from since. After police do some investigating, they figure out that Nathaniel had access to his mom's off-white 4-door 1978 Toyota Corolla the day that the boy disappeared, and that his mom and brother were out of town for a funeral. Police also discovered that Nathaniel didn't work the day that Zach disappeared or for several days after. Detectives go and search Nathaniel's apartment and they find a list of boys' names, which included previous victims and the name Zachary Ramsey, followed by the word died. They also discover dozens of newspaper clippings about Zach Ramsey, but that isn't all that they found. When we come back, the creepy details that led to Nathaniel Bar-Jonah being known as the barbecue killer.
Murder Monday continues next.
Police searched Gacy's home and found the decomposed remains of three bodies in a dirt crawl space under the house.
Tomorrow marks 30 years since Johnny Gosch disappeared on his paper route.
I just killed my mom and my sister.
The city is preoccupied with a killer who in one note signed himself the Son of Sam.
The East Area Rapist, just when you thought the story couldn't get any worse.
Wrists and ankles chained, gagged, probably blindfolded.
We have an individual who apparently has the uncontrollable desire to kill.
It's Murder Monday on the Joe and Alex Show. Listener discretion is advised.
Wow, today is intense. Murder Monday on the Joe and Alex Show. Alex, there's photos up on our Instagram right now. It's at Joe and Alex Show. What can someone see up there right now?
You can see pictures of Nathaniel Barjona. You can see a picture of an interesting recipe, which we will get into. Also, a picture of Zach Ramsey then when he went missing, and then what he could look like potentially today.
Okay.
We left off with Nathaniel Barjona having his apartment searched after 10-year-old Zach Ramsey goes missing. Police find Zach's name on a list with the word dead next to it. There are newspaper clippings about his disappearance. They also find notebooks where Nathaniel describes torturing and eating children. The recipes in this book have interesting titles too, like Little Boy Pot Pie, French Fried Kid, and Little Boy Stew. There are phrases like lunch is served on the patio with roasted child. Detectives also find 3,500 sexual images of children in his apartment. Even weirder, after Zach Ramsey's disappearance, Nathaniel began to hold cookouts in his neighborhood where he served burgers, spaghetti, chili, meat pies, and casseroles to his friends and neighbors.
Nope, I don't want to know where this is going.
At most of the cookouts, multiple people told Nathaniel that the meat had an odd taste to it.
Nathaniel
would tell them that he had gone deer hunting and used venison in the dishes.
I've had venison.
But Nathaniel did not own a rifle or a hunting license, and he had never been deer hunting in his life.
Okay, I'm done.
When one lady told Nathaniel that she found the taste of his meat repulsive, he told her that he had personally hunted, killed, butchered, and wrapped the meat. Investigators did discover hair found inside a meat grinder in his apartment.
Okay.
But when the hair is tested for DNA, it was found to belong to someone but not Zach Ramsey. They also found child bone fragments in his garage, which did not belong to Ramsey. The thing is, no one could even confirm that these cookouts had supposedly happened. This is rumor. So that is not in the police reports that part had happened. That's rumor from people that have lived in that town.
I'm never
for years.
Going to a barbecue again.
Right. Well, authorities perform an excavation at one of his former residences, and they do uncover 21 bone fragments belonging to a boy between 8 and 13 years old. The house's pipes couldn't be examined because the neighbors who moved in afterward had changed them due to constantly being clogged. Because both of the remains found tied Nathaniel to African-American boys, Zach Ramsey's mom refused to believe that her son was dead or that Nathaniel Barjona was responsible for his disappearance. Nathaniel ends up convicted for the other crimes and gets sentenced in 2002 to 130 years in prison without the possibility of parole. On April 13th of 2008, Nathaniel is actually found dead in prison from a heart attack related to his obesity. So Nathaniel Barjona targeted children between 5 and 15. In most of his crimes, he drove a white car dressed in navy blue coats, jackets, and caps, pretending to be a cop. He carried toy guns and badges. And after getting the victims in his car, he would drive over to a secluded place, restrain them, and sexually assault them. Afterwards, he would try to kill them by strangulation or suffocate them using his own weight.
Mr. Barjona, I was doing the math this morning, and I noticed that 10 years and 10 days ago, that a 10-year-old boy went missing. I wonder if you can tell me something about that.
Basically, what happens according to the police reports I read is that he was walking to school and never made it to school.
Do you have your own impression as to whether he's ever likely to come back or not? If you had to kind of put money on it, bet the farm, as they say.
I'd like to hope so.
Yeah, but that's not what I asked. We all like to hope so, right?
I don't think I'd take the bet, because I just don't know. I mean, it's sort of it's just a level. I just can't.
It's my understanding that they found pictures of kids in there.
They found a lot of clippings.
We found boxes and boxes of pictures of children, cutouts.
What do you mean, clippings?
Clippings from magazines.
Uh-huh.
Of various things. I mean, Christmas scenes, kids, adults, people in Halloween costumes, but it wasn't just kids like they implied.
But there were some of kids.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
When you're working on these cases, you do get into their mind, and you have to get into their mind because they don't think like you and I. They're just masterful liars.
Had there been clippings of the missing boy?
No.
Stories, newspaper clippings?
No.
In Barjona's apartment, investigators found a collection of articles following the Zach Ramsey case.
So, from where you're sitting, it looks as if you're here under false pretenses. Like they nailed you for something you didn't do.
I'm totally innocent. of all the charges that they charged me with and the ones I'm convicted on.
He always maintained his innocence. And 3 years after he went to jail, Zachary Ramsey's dad ended up declaring his son dead. But Zach's mom vehemently disagreed with that and still to this day holds out hope that her son is alive. The National Center for Exploited and Missing Children, they came out with what would be like a computerized generated sketch of what Zach Ramsey would look like today if he is alive, which is what I was talking about. You can see on Instagram at Joan Alex Show. It was very, very interesting how they do that. That is just like some of the coolest science, I think. Using
it's like
science
how
for good.
How can they figure it out? And it's usually like sometimes it's really accurate.
So, of course, we hope Zach Ramsey is alive. There are some weird just discrepancies to this case. It doesn't look good for him. But this case is just so strange because
I'm looking at the photo right now. This is insane.
It's like,
what if there's a guy out there that looks just like this? Like, hey, that's my dad or that's my husband or that's my boyfriend.
It's just like there was always all this evidence and they really could only prove that he had, you know, sexually assaulted those few kids, but they could never prove that he even murdered anybody. But it's just very weird, the evidence that they found. So anyway, go check out those pictures at Joe and Alex Show on Instagram. That is the barbecue killer case.
Good morning to you. It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now. Twitter and Instagram is where you follow us on social media at Joe and Alex Show. For Facebook, we like to put stuff up there too. Just search for Radio Now and give it a like. My brother was in town with his wife, Audrey, over the weekend. It was only 48 hours, but guys, I really, truly had one of the best weekends in a long time. We didn't even do that much. It was just really hanging out together. We went out and played some like card games and drank at a bar on Sunday. Then like we made like a little home-cooked meal. My brother actually made some food, and his wife, Audrey, did too. But just in general, it was great. My brother and I didn't have like a horrific childhood, like where we hated each other a lot.
Well, you were a lot older, right?
No, I'm only 3 years older than my brother, which I think he's adopted or I'm adopted because like I'm bald and fat and ugly and he's kind of handsome and he's got like his hair up top and stuff. It's weird. I don't think we're related. Point being is simply that it was a great weekend. We discovered so much. Like we talked about a lot of stuff. It was almost therapy. It was great. And our wives got along and I just really enjoyed it.
Does he have the same sort of resentment issues towards your mom that you do?
My brother's way farther along than I am because he's went through a whole process of himself, like going through therapy and different things like a long time ago. Not necessarily resentment, but he knows like, hey, he knows all my mom's BS and stuff. It's still hard for me, as mad as I am at my mom. Like I want to defend my mom, but it's hard because it's like, oh, it's your mom.
Did Lindsay have fun hanging out with them or was she tolerating them?
Because
I know she doesn't always love hanging out with your side of the family.
Only she has a hard time with my mom and my grandma. But Lindsay loves my brother and my sister-in-law, Audrey. We had an awesome time.
That's good.
We're going to try to see each other every couple of months over there. They come to visit us. It's just hard not being, you know, in the same state. Mm-hmm. So it was great, though. Really had a good time. The one point, Alex, is this. 833-JOE-ALEX. I'm not going to judge you, but I might judge you. I want to know if anybody else... What's the word to not make people not call? I think it's weird. What would I say if I don't want to call somebody a weirdo and not insult them?
Strange.
If you have this unique habit.
Okay.
How about that? If you have this unique habit. My brother, I thought I noticed this, but he admitted it when he was leaving. He's like, oh man, I got to go find a place. My brother, for 48 hours at my house, never pooped once.
So do you hold your number two until you leave someone's house?
He's like, I can only really poop at home. I can't poop at other people's houses. He says he has like a phobia about it. Like that, like they're going to hear it. Now, to be fair, our bathroom is right next to our bedroom, so we could totally hear that. But 833-JOE-ALEX, is anybody that way? Because like he was telling me, he's like, oh yeah. He's like, it's really common. There's people that like won't poop at work. I'm like,
oh yeah.
Who will not?
My dad.
Your dad will
My
not
dad
go to the bathroom at work,
will
Alex.
Will wait all day long when he really, really has to go. He will hold it all day long. As the first thing, as soon as he gets in the door, he goes straight to the bathroom. My entire life, my entire childhood, we know not to bother dad for the first, like, 20 minutes because he has to go straight to the bathroom and do what he could not do all day because he refuses to go number two in public anywhere. Will not.
That is just... That is insane to me that people... What about you? Do you do that?
Oh, when I have to go, I just have to go.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
I don't know how people can hold it. I can't.
And it just blew my mind. He's like, yeah, I only really do it at home. I'm like, well, what in the middle of the day? I guess his job that he has now is kind of closer to work. So he'll actually go there at home and he'll go to the bathroom if he has to.
Remember when I told you about how I had a first date and I had to go so bad it just hit me on the way there that I had to pull over, go into a McDonald's, and I had to call the guy I was going to be late. And then when I go into the bathroom, there's some freaking mom having a custody battle on the phone, crying and stuff in the bathroom, talking to her boyfriend or whatever, trying to, you know, get her kids back and all this. And I had to wait, hovering and pinching, just clenching, waiting for her to leave.
You should have flushed the toilet. That's what I do in the bathroom at work. I flush the toilet to cover the sound up. That might have got her out of there too. It's where are you at?
I knew there was no covering the sound. So I had to wait till she left. It was the most miserable moment of my life.
833-JOE-ALEX. That is 833-563-2539. Wondering this morning here on the Joe and Alex Show if anybody else is kind of like my brother Bob and you refuse to pretty much poop in public. We'll talk to you next here on Radio Now. Can you tell me about yourself or somebody you know who refuses to go to the bathroom in public? I don't understand. I love my brother Bob, but it blew my mind. I'm like, dude, is he using the bathroom? Alex,
well, when I stay
he
at
didn't
someone's,
poop for 48 hours.
Yeah, when I stay at someone's house on a vacation or something, like, of course I'm going there. Because where
you have
else?
To.
Where else?
I mean, it's weird, but I could see, like, actually, no, I can't. I'm trying to understand and be more welcoming of people and do it. But he's like, oh, yeah, he ran out a few times. I'm like, what's he doing? Well, he went to the bathroom, like at a gas station.
Well, I'm definitely, if I had
That's
a choice,
thing.
I'm
it's
not
like,
going there.
Yeah, I'm doing a bathroom gas station. Maybe some drugs, some illegal activities.
Yeah, no way.
I'm not going there to drop one. Hey, Tracy, you're on the Joe and Alex Show. Thank you for calling in. And what's the deal with your husband?
So my husband, when we moved in together in the beginning, we obviously weren't married then, but he was, I guess, embarrassed about it, and he would set an alarm for 2 o'clock in the morning so that he could get up and go poop while I was sleeping.
No way.
Do you think it wouldn't smell after 3 or 4 or 5 hours? Like, magically it would clear out?
I don't know. I didn't even know that he did it until he told me, like, shortly afterwards.
I will say, one of my friends who recently got married, I asked her, like, how was the honeymoon and stuff? She said, well, I had to always, whenever he was getting ready or something like that, I would make sure I got ready first and stuff so I could say, oh, I'll meet you in the lobby. And I'd go to the lobby so that I could go number 2 before he got down there. Like, they wouldn't go in the hotel
room
bathroom
together.
That's
a terrible start to the marriage.
They just want to keep that part private for a while,
eventually,
I guess.
Eventually, let me tell you, things are so disgusting in my marriage. It eventually you let all the walls down.
I also have heard of girls, you know, speaking of things that you keep private for a while in your marriage, not taking their makeup off for the first couple years of marriage before they go to sleep. They sleep in their makeup because they don't want their husband to see them without makeup yet.
That is so bad for your skin.
Yeah.
But I don't if it looks really bad without it, I don't think I need to see that. You know what I mean? Like, come on, let's be fair here.
You're listening to the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now.
Oh, I love trash.
It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now.
Who cares about this garbage?
While closing out Coachella, Ariana Grande brought out Justin Bieber as a guest yesterday. He greeted the crowd and performed his song Sorry, and also at one point said that he's working on a new album.
I haven't been on stage in like 2 years. I came out here, I had no idea I was going to be on this stage tonight. Absolutely no idea. I wore this fly outfit not knowing that I was going to be on stage. So anyways, it's my first time on stage in like 2 years. So I had to get my dream back. I had to get my swag back. You know what I'm saying? So thank you so much.
Kim Kardashian says that she could never see herself using her fame or money to get her kids into college.
You know, I think as a parent, you have to let your kid, like for me, I would never, if they couldn't get into a school, I would never want to use privilege to try to force them into a situation that they wouldn't thrive in anyway. So that's where I just see that that is not appropriate.
She also had some more to say.
You know, working hard, and to me, even having my kids see me studying, you know, leaving and going into an office a few days a week, studying all the time, coming home, I have my backpack, they have their backpack, they're studying, I'm studying. I hope that they get inspired to know that they can put in the hard work. And even though I'm in my late 30s and I'm just finishing college or attempting to do that now, it's never too late and there really is no easy way out.
Teresa and Joe Giudice, or Giudice or whatever, their daughter Melania asked President Trump to stop her dad's deportation. She posted a throwback photo of her and her dad on Instagram and said, "It's not the same without you. I miss you terribly. I wouldn't be the person I am today without you. I wouldn't know how to stay strong. I need you home, Daddy. All I want is to be a family again." She also put 2 pink hearts as well as the hashtag Free Joe Giudice or Giudice and tagged President Trump because her dad, you know, her parents now have been convicted of felonies for, like, money laundering, mm-hmm. fraud, some stuff like that. They both have served time in jail, but the dad, I believe, is here illegally, and so now he's being deported back to Italy.
I don't see that one being pardoned.
Well,
I don't see that happening.
Committed a crime.
What's I'm saying?
Like, it's not like out of nowhere he's being deported. Like he's a convicted felon now.
That's what I'm saying. I don't see him being able to stay. Yeah. I don't see that happening.
It doesn't look like it. A Marvel fan in Wisconsin set a new world record by seeing Captain Marvel 116 times.
No, thank you.
He set a Guinness World Record for most viewings of Captain Marvel, easily beating the old record, which was 104. The most showings he did in one day was 7. And to prevent himself from getting bored, he would pay attention to things in the background and even pick up on details like what day the movie actually takes place.
What's something that you've watched a lot of? Like The Office? It's not a movie, but I don't...
If I had to think what movie I've seen the most of, it might be like The Brave Little Toaster, The Holiday, those two.
I think I've seen the most, and I haven't seen it all the way through, and only because it was stuck on TV. I've probably seen like A Christmas Story, just because TBS airs that stupid thing like nonstop 24 hours a day.
Yeah. Coming up in less than an hour, Kanye West's strange Coachella church service.
For more garbage, go to joeandalexshow.com.
I am the cheapest guy in the world. We talk about it all the time on air, and I'm not embarrassed by it, even though I get a lot of crap for it. I would have no problem doing this, because I'll tell you right now, I know it would probably save me and my wife combined $50, $100, $200 a month if she would do this. A husband is sharing about how he's fine online with his wife going out anytime she's with her girls, and she leaves her wedding ring at home so she can get free drinks. What a genius move here by this husband and wife. Now, some people are saying, bro, she's probably cheating on you and getting it from other people. 833-JOE-ALEX. I want to know your thoughts, but also the main question is, would you be okay with this? You're a married couple, husband and wife, or boyfriend, boyfriend, girlfriend, girlfriend. Your significant other that's married to you takes their ring off when they go out alone. What do you think about that?
I actually don't totally have a problem with this, but I have a little bit of a problem with this. I have a problem with her doing it when he's not there. If this was whenever it wasn't like not for the girls' nights, but if it was like when her and him went out with their friends, if she did it with him there, then I wouldn't have a problem with it. Because he's there to intervene if some guys get a little weird, a little handsy, a little inappropriate. If she's only out with her girlfriends and she has no ring on, it's game on, baby. There's no one to stop anyone like psychotic from, you know, hitting on her.
You know how I used to DJ weddings?
Yeah.
I worked with a DJ who would take his wedding ring off at when he DJ'd a wedding, because he wanted to like flirt with other people so he could get a better tip.
That's smart. Jeez. Though. No, it's flirt. Like, I mean, that's, of course, it's flirt. I think it's smart if he's just doing it for the job and not trying to hook up with one of the bridesmaids.
Right, no, he's definitely not.
But if you're getting more money out of the deal and nobody's getting hurt, I don't see what the problem is, especially if both parties, like the husband and wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, are aware of that ring coming off.
But when I'm single, the first thing I look at, I notice if you're attractive. If you're attractive,
guilty.
The next thing I do is I look at your finger. If there's a ring on it, I'm like, hey, you know, game off. If the ring is off, then I'm like, all right, game on. This person is available. So that's the thing that I have an issue with. Like, that's the number one thing chicks look for.
But I feel like some women also like a man that has a ring on, too. Like, there's a challenge to it.
Yeah, terrible people.
Little thotties, how you doing? 833-JOE-ALEX. Is this anybody listening actually do this? Like, do you actually go and take your ring off just to get the drinks and your significant other's cool with it? Because if my wife, Lindsay, I mean, to be fair, my wife, Lindsay, occasionally leaves her ring at home. I don't know if, like she's planning on divorcing me or she forgets to. She says she forgot, but I don't believe that. But I don't know. Like, I think this is a good way to save some cash. I don't think it's a bad thing that the couple came up with.
Or, kind of like me, you're not saving cash, you just don't have any. So if you want to go out and get a drink, I guess that's a way.
And well, you can go get one of those cheapy rubber rings everyone's wearing now. That's what you can get for a wedding ring. There's other things. Listen, if I am dirt poor living out of a cardboard box, I'm getting a freaking string or a noodle, and I'm tying that around my husband's finger. I don't care how poor we are. There's going to be something there to let the other chicks know he is not available.
Alex will be homeless so that he has that ring. And then she has a big ring instead of an actual apartment. Yes.
So you're going to like tattoo a ring on him?
Yeah, I will do anything.
Alex, just grab like a little like pin needle, like stand still. Don't move. You need this.
A shank.
That's sketchy. A giant A on there. All right. 833-JOE-ALEX. We will take your calls next. It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now. 833-JOE-ALEX to call in. 833-563-2539. If you're just tuning in, this husband's wife goes out clubbing with her friends and always leaves her wedding ring at home so she can, quote, get free drinks. Now, he's okay with it. It's not like he's upset about it. But that seems like a genius idea to me. Some other people I've seen, like, that is a terrible idea. It's just giving her a chance to cheat. There might be, like, Alex had a guy that's just a creep, like, hey, hey. And just if there's not a guy there, like the husband, then who's going to stop that?
You won't believe the Instagram DM that we got.
What did we just get? At Joe and Alex Show, by the way.
So Michael just DM'd us and said that he has his wife on dating apps. She'll actually go on a full-on date with other guys, order whatever the biggest meal is at the end of the day, ask for a to-go
doggy
box.
Bag?
Yeah, and then takes it home to eat with her husband. So that's how they pay for a lot of their meals
that
during the week.
That is genius. Lindsay, are you listening? You're going to have to go out tonight. I got some requests, okay?
Fazoli's, please.
Yeah, I'm putting my wife on there. Bumble, Lindsay, Pesh, here we go. Hey, Kristen, you're on the Joe and Alex Show, and is this something that you would do?
No, it's something I do also.
What?
And
yeah,
you're married?
Absolutely. I go out and have a great night. Usually I won't even have to pay cover. I'll get my cover, so, you know, somebody will want to pay for my cover and get free drinks all night and then go home drunk to my husband.
And so this is, you keep your ring at home?
Yeah, I leave it at home.
Wow.
Now, is it because you're embarrassed of your ring or just you get free stuff?
No, my ring is pretty, but I like free drinks and my husband likes to, you know, not pay $10 a drink either, so yeah. Why not?
Wow, you guys are a couple goals right there.
Have you ever had a guy try to, like, take you home?
Well, they're thirsty. They're dehydrated. And they're all going to try.
Have any of them been any, you know, attractive?
Yeah, I mean, there's like, hot people out there, but if you're
so
happy,
then when
you're
that
happy.
Happens, do you reveal your secret, or do you just say, oh, no, sorry, I can't?
Thanks for the three.
I'm professional at shutting people down.
Ooh.
You should be like, sorry, I can't, I'm pregnant. Well, while you're drinking, it doesn't matter.
You should write a book.
I heard Jaeger is okay when you're pregnant, so I'll take a triple.
I've never had Jaeger, like, and not had a problem, so that's insane. But we love you, Kristen. Thank you for calling in to the Joe and Alex Show. Hey, if you do this, actually, maybe we can put it up as a Twitter poll, too, at Joe and Alex Show. Either way, let us know, because I don't have a problem. Now, if I start hearing about my wife making out with random dudes, then we got a problem. We got a big problem. But she's saving $50 on drinks? Hey,
there you go.
My wife's available. What do you think, Alex? I should do Bumble or Hinge? Where do I put her on?
Bumble.
Okay, look for it.
Hinge is for relationships. Bumble is for, like, going out casual.
Well, then she probably already has a Hinge profile in the wings ready to go. It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now. Let's get into dumb people doing, well, pretty dumb things. It's time for your dummy of the day.
I'll spell it for you. D-U-M-M-Y.
It's the dummy.
Come on, sing it.
It's the dummy of the day. It's the dummy.
Oh, yeah.
It's the dummy of the day on the Joe and Alex Show.
This is something I've kind of always wondered how often it happens. Not necessarily a fear, but I love hearing about dumb people getting caught. A Mississippi woman who bought her truck, and she actually brought it in a few months later for service, found a dealership employee using it to go shopping later in the day. She dropped it off to get some work done, like, you know, right. A regular tune-up repair. And that's a little bit of what happened, but there's more. The woman saw her truck on the highway and thought it may be out, you know, for a test drive, making sure whatever they fixed was going well. However, the driver was aggressive and tailgating another car, so she followed to see, what the heck's going on over here with my truck?
Smart.
She followed the driver to a Lowe's store and called the dealership to ask if they knew where her truck was. When they didn't, she took her spare key and took her truck back, leaving the employee without a ride.
Epic.
This is awesome. The woman drove back to the dealership and was told her service would be free if she didn't post the incident on social media.
Ooh, a bribe.
Well,
you're going to have to pay me a lot more money than that, big boy.
Well, she posted it anyways, writing, "Do not mess with my family, my animals, my money, or my truck."
I'd be suing. Forget that.
Nobody drives Big Bertha like that. Nobody.
Bertha girl, you are on another level goals.
Apparently her truck is Big Bertha. The dealership apologized and fired the employee who took her truck back. That's awkward. Imagine being the manager. Like, you obviously have a dumb rogue employee. You're like, we can give you a free oil change.
That is so awkward.
All right, we love dumb people. That's why we have our Dummy of the Day here on the Joe and Alex Show.
Check out the Dummy of the Day at joeandalexshow.com.
It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now, and we are excited to talk to Jordan Dooley, Indiana Rays. She's a creative entrepreneur, writer, author, coach, and Alex would even say friend.
Yeah, I got to meet up with Jordan and talk to her, and she told me some really cool stuff about her new book coming out, and it blew my mind.
Whoa, first of all, what's the book called?
It is called Own Your Everyday, Overcome the Pressure to Prove and Show Up for What You Are Made to Do.
Oh my God, Jordan sounds just like Alex.
Yeah, what is your book going to be about, Jordan?
Yeah, this book is best described as the resource for a woman who is chasing after something more, but trying to find purpose and contentment right where she is with what she has. I feel like those two things are so hard to bring together. And we're all asking, you know, what am I supposed to do with my life? How do I figure out my thing, my purpose, my dream? So it's really meant to be like a guidebook and a solution to that.
Yeah, so when I sat down and talked to Jordan about this, and she also has a podcast you might have heard her on called She. She's gotten over 1 million downloads in only a couple months. She's also Insta-famous. You probably follow her. She has over 230,000 followers on Instagram, by the way.
I have 230, so we're really close.
There we go.
When Jordan was talking to me about this book, she said, that is exactly what she said to me. And I said, hold on a minute. Go back. She said, which you might think is kind of controversial, that people need to stop looking for their purpose.
Yeah. So, I, you know, when I started really paying attention to what my audience was asking me, I got this consistent question. How do I find my purpose? You know, how do I find my dream? And as I started really thinking through this, I said, well, maybe we're asking the wrong question. Because I think when we ask that question, what we're doing is we're indicating that our purpose is this thing that's lost, like we have to go find it somewhere, and it's eventually going to, you know, find us or whatever. But as I really started diving into this idea and talking with women and looking at my own life, I kind of had this aha moment where I realized, hang on, purpose isn't out there. I might find some dreams that I didn't even realize I had. But if I start with understanding that actually my purpose is in me and it's been in me since I was born, then I can bring that to whatever position I walk into rather than hoping the position will give it to me. Because I think we're setting ourselves up for disappointment thinking that some position or role that we might serve in our life would be, oh, that's our purpose. Because the second that role ends or changes, does that mean our purpose goes along with it, right? So it's all about a massive perspective shift and thinking about this whole idea of embracing and living our purpose completely differently.
Jordan, you're very transparent with a lot of things in life and on social media. What's the hardest thing to be transparent about to people that you know and people that might follow you and connect with you?
I think, you know, because I'm a multi-passionate person, I know there's so many of us out there that might not even realize we're multi-passionate, but I think we're really multifaceted creatures. But it's tough for me because, you know, when you have any kind of influence, it can be easy to feel like you have to stay in a box. Like, all right, this is the one thing that I do or the one topic I'm going to talk about. And so what I have found to be challenging is when you have that position of influence and you're often, it can be really easy to live into perceived expectations. And so to communicate, you know, when I'm pivoting or trying something new, even in a position of influence, right? Not even in the beginning of the journey, that can feel very vulnerable. That can feel kind of scary because it can be easy to think, well, everyone expects me to do this or that. And I think a lot of us, regardless of our position of influence or our role in life, can begin to feel that we have to live by this one label or this one, you know, in this one space or do this one thing our entire lives. And so kind of breaking out of that box and communicating that openly and kind of rolling with what comes and being willing to try new things is always a little bit of a challenge, but it also makes my job a lot of fun.
In your book, Own Your Everyday, Overcome the Pressure to Prove and Show Up for What You Were Made to Do, you also talk about comparison in this life. And as someone who is Instagram famous, like, do you find yourself even comparing yourself to other girls and bloggers and stuff on Instagram?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think we can always compare up and we can also compare down, right? And so I found that in so many different ways. I think I found a couple different tools to help combat that that I share in the book, because I think we can talk about how we all struggle with it and how it's, you know, so common and all of that. But I think the tools to really actually identify and overcome that in the moment, in the day-to-day, because I don't think it's something that you just overcome one and done, you never struggle with it again. I think it's a daily battle. And so finding some tools and some default things we can turn to help us walk through that every day has been really helpful for me, because absolutely in this space, it is a real struggle.
One thing I was reading that was interesting, can you give us a little hint on how to identify and eliminate excuses and unnecessary stress about the unknown future? Because I'm raising my hand right now. You can't see it on the phone. But holy crap, that's everybody on the show, but I think I'm the biggest person.
So a couple different things I hit on in the book. The first that I think is really important is this idea of incremental, implementable, imperfect action. And I use those three words very intentionally. Because when we can break down this, you know, when we look at life and it feels like, oh my gosh, there's this big mountain of uncertainty and I'm freaking out, to really break it back down to, okay, what's one incremental step that I can take? That means tiny, that means small, that means manageable, right? Implementable, you know, something I can implement right away. I don't need to go get a certification or pass this test or do this big, you know, get through this big milestone. What's something I can actually put into action mm-hmm. with my current resources and circumstances? And how can I be okay with doing it imperfectly and knowing I'm going to fumble into what it's supposed to be anyway? So that's one big thing. The second thing is understanding that embarrassment and those small beginnings, like when you're taking those incremental action steps and kind of just moving forward, even when you're not sure of the unknown ahead of you, really embracing that embarrassment or being seen starting small can really be a hidden form of empowerment. Because I think one of our biggest fears when it comes to the unknown future and what we're supposed to be doing is often other people's opinions and or expectations yeah. for our own unmet expectations in our lives.
I love that. And your brand new book is hitting shelves on May 14th. It's Own Your Everyday, Overcome the Pressure to Prove and Show Up for What You're Made to Do. And that's going to be at like pretty much every major retailer, right, Jordan?
Yep, everything from Target, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Amazon, you name it, it'll be there.
Yep, you had me at Amazon.
And you can find her on Instagram at Jordan Lee Dooley. And you will find that you'll be so excited for her book too, because one thing with Jordan is that even in just her Instagram captions, like I constantly will read your Instagram captions and I'll be like, oh my gosh. I mean, you like will put aha moments even in just your captions. You will learn so much about just navigating relationships, especially you are a young married woman, and you're in your late 20s, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And so you talk everything about, yeah, relationships and how to build a social media brand and all that stuff. So if you're interested in any of that, Jordan is the perfect person to follow and read her book. I'm so excited for it.
Jordan Dooley on the Joe and Alex Show. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for having me, y'all.
You guys want to go get some ribs?
Stop it.
We gotta grab lunch. We got some downtime before we go film our contest.
No, I wanted to get a Brew Burger.
I went there a few weeks ago. I like Brew Burger.
I actually like Brew Burger, and they have a shrimp salad that's pretty fire.
All right, Liv, seriously, we get it. You're healthy. Stop.
I don't even meaning it like that. Well, I can't have beef after that Murder Monday. Let me just say that.
I can.
No, thank you.
I actually would like to go to Brew Burger, and I can and I could pay for myself because when Chris Hogan came on Friday, remember he said I don't have to pay my credit card bills in full? He said I could just pay a little bit.
That doesn't.
He's still going to rack up debt
now. By the way,
responsible.
By the way, did you call the financial advisor guy and set up a meeting with that person?
Not yet.
My dad is a financial advisor, and he said he would also give you some advice because he felt so bad. You cut up your credit cards?
Well, I mean, at this point, it doesn't matter because they're maxed out, so I can't use them anyway. But yeah, I'll cut them up.
I want you to do it on air so we have video. And I want to know the credit card numbers,
too.
Yeah,
but I know you're probably the person that'll pay $20 and then be like, oh, I have $20 to spend on it.
Yeah.
I know you.
That's why you need to cut it up. And also, didn't you just get some money from family for Easter?
Yeah, my grandma gave me $100.
There we go. Your mom heard the show.
You should put that into savings.
So you're all going to go to Brew Burger and I'm not. Liv's leftover chicken?
Yes. I'm not going to Brew Burger, but I'm just hypothetically suggesting ribs.
Maybe Liv will split it with you.
What?
She doesn't eat like what I like to eat.
Yeah, that's true. There's no
way. I don't think you're going to be able to eat out for another like 5 years or so until you pay off all your debt.
2 years.
Right, so then 2 years, but just you're not going to eat out once a month.
Yeah, well, part of the lifestyle of like roughing it for 2 years in order to pay off your debt is rice and beans every day, telling your friends you can't go out to eat, all that kind
of
stuff.
I'm not joking. Part of the reason why I worked at a restaurant was because I got discounted food.
You just reminded me, I am going to apply at the Steakhouse Fleming's up in Castleton.
I thought you already did apply and they didn't contact you back.
No.
I thought that's what you told me.
No, I told you that I wanted to be fully available for the show. I didn't want to be stuck at a job.
I think you would be. No, I think if you do it from like 4 to 8 or whatever you're talking about, I think you would be fully available compared to now. You're driving way more.
Right.
You You need
point.
To look into two. My sister-in-law has shipped. She makes usually $200 to $400 in a weekend.
That's how I get my groceries is shipped.
Dude, no. I have Ubers that always are talking on the phone. So ooh, I don't know what? Why you say you can't talk on the phone while you Uber drive.
No, you cannot talk on the phone I've while never you're had driving. That.
Bottom line, let's do this. Are you getting signed up today? You need to call somebody today.
Yeah.
Promise.
I promise.
So by the time we talk to you tomorrow, I'll be like, I put in a call to Bob or whoever.
Yeah.
Okay. Bobbert.
Bobbert.
I will. But in the meantime, can I get a rare burger?
No, you don't have the money for it.
No, you can't.
No.
You
need to be an adult.
Your grandma just gave you some money, but think about how you have rent due. You have credit card bills due. You have debt that is due. You have hospital bills that are due.
I did what he said.
You have to pay for gas money.
$50 instead of the $100 minimum.
I know, but then you should take that money and put it towards your rent, your electricity. Your electricity is about to go out. You just said that earlier in the show.
You're also misunderstanding. So calling your credit card company and saying, can I pay less, isn't for all the cards. So you pay the most that you can on your smallest credit card debt. So whatever card. So let's say you have one card that you only owe $200 on.
Right.
Then you'll pay like $100, but then the rest of the cards that you have, you'll say, can I only pay $50?
Gotcha.
So because you're doing the debt snowball. You're starting with the smallest and going up to the biggest.
What is your smallest debt? Credit card.
$1,800.
So put your most money towards that and the least amount of money towards the other ones until that one's paid off. Then you move on to the next highest paid, lowest paid or whatever. Do you see what I'm saying? That's what he was
saying. But actually, though, we can continue this conversation off the air for the whole thing, Dave Ramsey snowball.
Yeah.
You should take that $100, which obviously you're not going to be able to because you don't have the money to keep your water on right now. You should take that.
Water off?
I thought he said it was going to go
his electricity.
I don't know. I feel like there's people in third world countries that are like, dang, he's poor. Like, honestly, you're struggling right now, bro. But no, you need to save up the $1,000 emergency fund. So that could be $100. You only have $900 to go. Because that way, if crap hits, your car needs a $500 repair. That's okay. I got my emergency fund.
What are you writing down? Is it a hit list for us?
It's take out Joe's brakes.
Letting Joe that.
I guess I have to. Nothing. He's telling me all the behind the scenes crap. I have to delete stuff and get commercials ready.
Yep.
All the boring crap, like making the donut stuff.
Yep,
so,
I'm
all done. All right. Well, what do you guys got going on today? Because I have to head over now to Champion Crusher Jeep Dodge Ram. A shout out, because as of now, they still associate with me. But John and Rick there, I had to text them. I said, good morning, gentlemen. Would it be possible to swing by today to pick up the extra Jeep key? It's currently locked inside of my Jeep because I locked the freaking key. The Jeep I'm in now. Now, you can actually legit buy this. Like, Joe, you got to sell this one. So I need a listener to buy my Jeep. It's a 2018 Jeep Wrangler. It is, oh my gosh, what is the blue? It's almost purple.
Electric?
No.
I forget that.
Indigo?
It's like, I'm blanking on the color, but the thing.
Mojito green.
No, that was my old one last month. This one right now, that's like for off-roading, it's got 35-inch wheels, like giant tires on there. The mud just grips on there. But I didn't realize it at first. I'm like, this one, like it's old school. It doesn't have power locks, but I found out why. It's like, because for this one, it's really meant to go muddy and like get things in there, and you'd fry all your electronics.
Dude, you need to go and take that off-roads.
Somebody needs to take me. Rick and these guys and John keep on telling me, like, you need to go out there. But I'm afraid. Like, I'm a dummy. How can I go off-roading if I can't even get into the vehicle?
Do they really
trust me with my Jeep?
Probably
I'm pretty good at doing that kind of stuff. I'm good at, like, dirt bike riding and stuff.
You want to go?
I mean, yeah, I would. Well, I don't know. With you driving, I'd be scared.
No. All right. No, for real. I'm heading over there today, so maybe I'll see if you head on out there. But stop on by, do a test drive. $50 go to Big Brothers Big Sisters. They currently have an awesome lease deal going on Jeep Wrangler Sport S, which I had. That was the first one I had a few months ago. And they have employee pricing on 2018, which if you want to buy my Jeep, I'll give you the key that's locked in it. You can actually take advantage of that and get a good deal. What about you, Liv? What do you got going on?
I have to work later tonight, so that is a bummer. And also, whenever the weather is nice, the kids act so erratic and crazy.
I have to go back. I was going to get a training membership at the gym you work at, a personal training, but I canceled that part.
Why?
Just because it was so expensive.
It is pretty expensive.
And the person told me it's no big deal, but like when I went to cancel, they acted like I was like the worst person in the world.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. She gets a lot of people working out there. She gets a lot of clients.
She didn't get me. She didn't get me. No, she's good. It's just, I got to save money in the household. So I said Liv could train me.
What?
Nothing.
I didn't volunteer for that.
You're not going to be very receptive to that.
What, Liv training me?
Yeah, you get too sensitive. Yeah, she's going to be hardcore telling you, like, book up.
Yeah.
You POS. You're not going
to
like
that. She already talks to me that way. I don't think it'd be different if I'm at a gym. Poor Chad, what are you going on with you, man?
I'm home alone because Chase is gone for the week.
The week?
Yeah, him and his mom and his dad went to visit their newly born niece.
That's so cute.
We can play tennis this week.
Yeah, it's going to be nice this week.
I know. I'm excited.
You guys, you could have something you don't have in real life. You could have love. That's a golf or a tennis term.
Oh, right. Like
okay, awkwardness. Joke lost on everybody.
I get it.
Alex, besides putting on makeup, what are you doing today?
I mean, exactly what I said 10 minutes ago. I'm just trying to go to Brewburger, whoever's down. Besides Pork Chop, he's not allowed.
What the heck?
Yeah. Hey, can we do a thing we had? Don't feed Joe. Can we have, like, don't feed Pork Chop?
No.
Unless it's a free meal.
Yes. Perfect.
Ooh, what if we had,
don't
like,
let him spend money.
You know how you can like put up dollars for pizza slices for homeless people? What if we had something where like people could put money up like it's for Pork Chop only though?
No.
It's like
I don't
Pork
like
Chop
that.
Gets a french fry or a burger.
I don't like that.
Okay. Well, hey, we can't do any of this stuff unless we get the heck out of here. So, Alex, Lev the Web Girl, producer Pork Chop, myself, Joe, let's say goodbye.
Bye. Bye.